Rows of film studio buildings are reflected in the Warner Brothers Shield logo, Warner Brothers Pictures, an AOL Time Warner company. A series of interlocking metallic Vs, the logo of Village Roadshow Pictures. A close-up on the featureless eyes of a statue. They belong to one of a pair of statues. The statue is of a woman in her early 20s seated on a throne. She sits with her hands resting on her thighs. Warner Brothers Pictures presents, in association with Village Roadshow Pictures, an NPV Entertainment. The woman wears an ornate headdress and necklace. A material production. Queen of the Damned. Tombs in a Cemetery.
There comes a time for every vampire when the idea of eternity becomes momentarily unbearable. Living in the shadows, feeding in the darkness with only your own company to keep, rots into a solitary, hollow existence. Immortality seems like a good idea, until you realize you're going to spend it alone. So I went to sleep, hoping that the sounds of the passing eras would fade out, and a sort of death might happen. But as I lay there, the world didn't sound like the place I had left, but something different. Better.
The narrator's tomb has a carved skeleton draped with a shroud on its lid. A rock band rehearses. A couple of cockroaches crawl over the lid of the tomb, which begins to slide open. A hand with pointed fingernails emerges from within and pushes the lid aside. A man in a long coat walks through the cemetery at night, clutching a violin.
It became worthwhile to rise again as new gods were born and worshipped. Night and day, they were never alone. I would become one of them.
On a quayside, a black guy stops chatting to a couple of girls and walks away. As he does so, the narrator approaches him. The rock band rehearse. The narrator grabs the black guy by the throat and lifts him into the air. The narrator, who's white with a pallid complexion, drops the black guy on the quayside and looks at his hands. Blood stains his mouth.
Whether it was that first meal or the 100 years of rest, I'm not sure. But suddenly I was feeling better than ever. My senses so high, they led me straight to the instrument of my resurrection. Playing in my old house.
The narrator walks over some waste ground towards a dilapidated, boarded-up house. Inside, the rock band are still rehearsing. A girl with bright red hair hears the singing and sees it's the narrator. He reclines on top of some speakers. The band stop playing, and the narrator gets off the speakers.
Jesus.
Your voice.
Who the hell are you, man?
The question provoked an irresistible urge.
I am the vampire Lestat.
It just rolled out of my mouth. With one simple sentence, I had betrayed everything about my kind, betrayed our code of secrecy.
Vampire. That's funny.
Indeed. Hilarious. You're all so beautiful.
Your hands
are cold as death.
He teleports across the room.
You're gonna kill us?
No. All that you've ever dreamed of, I'm going to make yours. This is your lucky day.
It was a bold move, I admit. But from that moment on, they were my friends, my children, my band. Giving the world a new god. Me.
I'm over it!
Stuart Townsend. Alia, Marguerite Moreau, Paul McGann, with Vincent Perez and Lena Olin. Lestat performs in a pop video with his new band. Music by Richard Gibbs and Jonathan Davis. Original songs by Jonathan Davis and Richard Gibbs. Edited by Danny Cooper. Director of Photography, Ian Baker. Based on The Vampire Chronicles by Anne Rice. Produced by Jorg Saralegui. Screenplay by Scott Abbott and Michael Petroni. Directed by Michael Reimer. A helicopter flies over Tower Bridge at night. It flies on towards a brightly illuminated building in the centre of London. A crowd of goth rock fans have gathered outside the building, many of them holding posters with different slogans. Be My Dark Angel, Blood Love Baby, Suck My Blood. The fans mob the band as they get out of a stretch limo. Inside, the band, now called the Vampire Lestat, give a press conference.
Can I have your attention? I'll get some questions. One at a time. Yeah, you.
Okay, so why here in London?
Come on, man, we go where we're told to go, just like you do.
So how would you sum up your music?
Sex, blood, and rock and roll.
Okay, everyone, excuse me. It's time. May I present the Vampire Lestat.
He appears on a giant monitor behind the band.
Good evening. Sorry I'm late. I was just trying to catch my breakfast.
Okay. Can we keep it short? One at a time. You.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I remember about vampires is that you guys generally keep your identity secret.
Yes, but why hide it in this day and age? I've hidden in the shadows for centuries. It's time to share myself with the world.
Could you prove it? You know, give us a demonstration of your powers.
If you like, I can give you a private demonstration in your hotel room tonight.
The journalist looks uneasy.
Lestat, your first and only concert's in Death Valley, just days away. Why just the one?
I don't like repeating myself.
There are lots of rumors flying around the internet about the hidden meaning in your lyrics, that you're giving away vampire secrets. Something in all that?
Maybe I'm trying to resurrect a few old friends, daring them to come out.
But these other vampires, aren't they going to be pissed off that you're giving away their secrets?
I imagine they are, yes.
Do you have anything else to say to the other vampires listening out there?
As a matter of fact, I do. Come out, wherever you are. See you all in Death Valley.
Lestat's transmission is terminated. He sits in a TV studio, staring into the distance. An aerial view of rural English fields at dusk, Glastonbury, West England. A couple of groupies are escorted beside an open-air pool.
I heard that Lestat keeps all these girls in his cellar, and it's really nice, and they give you food and cable and weed. Oh, please.
That's what I heard, but you have to let him suck you on your neck whenever he wants.
Doesn't sound too bad.
Done worse,
I'll say.
This way, girls.
The manager, Roger, escorts the girls into a large baronial-style hall, decorated with phantasmagorical-style bronze works. The groupies look around approvingly.
So this is Lestat's house?
It is this week. We move around a lot.
Why is that?
What can I say? The guy's just...
Boss, I didn't see you there.
No, you wouldn't, would you?
Lestat steps up to Roger.
These are the girls that you asked for.
Ah, yes.
Clad in a black shirt and leather trousers, he walks over to the two girls. He puts his arm around one's waist and inhales her scent.
Do you want me to take the girls home later?
No, thank you, Roger. I'll make sure they're taken care of.
Roger nods uncertainly.
You want some?
A joint.
What me? You hungry?
The girls approach Lestat as he sits on a sofa.
You hungry for something else?
He smiles mysteriously.
Come on. Don't you want to have some fun?
Don't do that.
Are you ticklish?
Weak. I'm very ticklish.
He crawls away across the floor on all fours, and the girls follow him in a similar fashion. Smiling, he backs away from them until he gets to the wall. The girls watch astonished as he begins to crawl up the wall like a gigantic lizard. He crawls up onto the ceiling and the girls suddenly become fearful. Lestat drops down and attacks them. Later, Lestat steps outside into the gardens of the house. He stands on a terrace and looks out into the night.
Come out, whoever you are.
He looks down thoughtfully. Jessie, a girl in her 20s, lies asleep in bed.
A voice calling to me in my dreams. The same dream I've had since I was 6. I have a family of my own. Not a strange dream, really. One every orphan has.
In flashback, Jessie, now about 8 years old, wakes and gets out of bed. She walks through a jungle-like conservatory and approaches a woman wearing a silk dressing gown. She passes a queue of people, a block pattern on a wall. She talks to the woman wearing the silk dressing gown.
Sorry, but you must go.
Why can't I stay with you? Please, Aunt Mara.
I don't want you to go. But you must.
Aunt, you're bleeding.
She wipes a tear of blood from Maharet's cheek. Maharet stops her tasting it.
You must be with your own.
I knew things were not as they were with other families.
This isn't the life I wanted for you.
I only knew I was part of them and being cast out. Was I bad? Had I done something wrong?
I'll always be watching for you.
I want to stay with you forever.
You can't.
Young Jessie looks down sadly. In the present, Jessie wakes. She sits up. Now out of bed, she blows on a hot drink and takes a sip. Her red hair is tied back, and she sits down with a book. The TV is on in the corner of the room.
I'm Serena Alto with MTV News. Vampire-turned-rocker Lestat has returned with a new CD called Forsaken. Although his band hails from New Orleans, Lestat himself claims to be an 18th-century French nobleman who has been asleep for over 100 years. Here's a sneak look at the new video, the third single from the Monster debut album, Redeemer.
Thank you. Jessie looks up from her book and glances at the TV. She puts the book down and gets a piece of paper. She goes over to the TV and sits down in front of it. She looks from the TV to the piece of paper. She stares at Lestat on the screen. Talamasca Centre for Paranormal Studies, London. Jessie gives a lecture.
Like everyone else, I assumed Lestat was a joke. A rock star with a gimmick. But then one of the phrases in one of his lyrics caught my attention. Take a walk down the aisle at the end of the mile. Give your life to my charms in the Admiral's arms. That rang a bell. I tracked down old leases in London. It turns out in the late 1600s, there was a pub in the back streets of Mile End called the Admiral's Arms. And it had a reputation for dealing with black magic and reports of people being lured there and vanishing. Now, here's where you could find the Admiral's Arms in old London. That part of London is mostly old warehouses, meatpacking plants, and a private club in the same location. I think that it's a vampire coven. Lestat is leading us to it.
Who took this picture?
I did.
You're still an apprentice. You don't do field work.
Jessie, the Talamasca has a code.
I know. Observe the dark realm, but be not of it.
Well, it's held good for 12 centuries. We record and observe, but never interfere.
I had to see it for myself.
Is David aware of this?
Jessie.
A man with glasses.
Hello, David. I was just explaining to...
Why don't you come and see me in my office?
She looks uneasy.
This is a real vampire coven, David, and it's right in the middle of London.
All the more reason to have told me first.
She looks down awkwardly.
Listen, Jessie. We know about Lestat. What he's doing is unprecedented.
Well, so why is he doing it? I mean, aren't you curious? Don't you think we should find out?
Come here, let me show you something.
David takes her over to an old painting.
What do you see?
She examines the painting.
Mid-1500s, Florence.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir?
Another more recent painting with a similar character in it.
This man is in both.
The different paint samples, all authentic. Each one painted at the time of that particular style.
The man appears in several more paintings, the last one in the Impressionist style.
His name is Marius. I've been tracing him for years. My little obsession. The closest we've come to the original vampire. Marius himself dates back to 400 BC.
Jessie looks at the painting uneasily.
So he sold her then Lestat?
He made Lestat.
How do you know that?
Because I have Lestat's journal.
I want to see it.
He stares at her.
Promise me you'll never go back to that place.
She stares at him, then looks down. Jessie carries Lestat's leather-bound journal over to a desk and sits down with it. She takes the volume out of the leather cover and opens it.
Je suis le vampire Lestat.
It was the winter of 1788, and I was brought to a Mediterranean island by the man who made me. The man is what you'd call him.
A castle is perched on top of the small island, which is nothing more than a barren chunk of rock. Inside it, Lestat lies stretched out on a bed. He wakes and looks around. As he sits up, he clutches at his neck. He gets up unsteadily. His complexion is gaunt with dark rings under his eyes. He picks up a waistcoat, then spots a painting of himself on an easel. He winces and clutches at his neck again. There's a flash of lightning and Marius appears behind him.
Lestat, welcome.
Who are you? Do I know you?
I am a noble by nature, but you may call me Marius.
I am the lord of a great manor. They'll send an army of men to look for me.
I doubt they'll find you, Lord de Liancourt. You're a long way from home.
Fearful, Lestat starts to run from Marius, who gives chase. He takes off and grabs hold of Lestat, then sinks his fangs into his neck. A classical-style mural on the wall shows vampires drinking the blood of their victims. Lestat struggles more and more feebly. Then Marius drops him onto the floor. He leans over him.
You're weak. Near passing. I can barely hear your heartbeat. The future hastens. An age beyond my antique reason. You will help me understand these times. That's why I chose you.
Chose me for what?
Marius rolls up his sleeve and, using one of his pointed fingernails, slits a vein in his forearm. He drips the blood over Lestat's face.
Drink. And live. You've been brave enough for one night, my son. Drink. And learn.
Lestat ingests the blood.
Good, is it not?
Lestat sucks greedily.
No more. No more, Lestat. No more!
Marius tears himself away from Lestat, who grins ecstatically as he lies on the floor. He suddenly convulses as if experiencing stomach cramps. Marius looks at his forearm and the cut he made heals up. Lestat continues to writhe on the stone floor.
Don't be afraid. It's only your body that dies.
Lestat lies still for a moment before lurching up to a sitting position as if he were being pushed up by an invisible hand. He looks over at Marius, who smiles.
More.
Jesse turns a page in the journal.
I impressed my maker with my thirst for things. He set out to educate me in the unknown, taught me all about the world, its hidden history. And about myself.
On a beach, Marius watches as Lestat drinks a victim's blood.
That's enough, my son.
Lestat pulls away from the man's neck.
When you feed, you must hold back from the moment of death. You must never take the last drop, or it will draw you in and you will die.
Lestat lets go of the man, who flops back onto the sand.
I appreciate your prey.
Marius kicks the man.
Their blood that we take into us carries with it life, their knowledge, their complexity.
My senses run amok, like a newborn child. And as for my new powers, I was beside myself with the pleasure of it all.
They walk past people dancing on the beach.
Come on, we've stayed long enough.
Ah, but we've spoken to no one.
A vampire's life is a life of discretion.
Discretion? Why must we hide, Marius? We are the powerful. We are the immortal. We should walk fearless in the open, no?
They stop and look at a young woman playing a violin by a fire on the beach.
That cannot be.
We're vulnerable during the day. Mortals must never know about us, for the sake of all our kind.
What, so I could never know her?
Not unless you wanted to kill her.
Lestat stares at Marius, then looks back at the woman.
So I could never be known?
You must be dead to the world. Come on, time to leave.
Marius walks on. Lestat stares after him, then looks over at the woman. She smiles at him, so Lestat goes over to the campfire and picks up another violin lying beside it. A man playing a bouzouki smiles and nods approvingly. Lestat stands and joins in with the man and the woman, playing along. Marius watches disapprovingly. As Lestat plays with greater and greater intensity, his eyes flash with a supernatural yellow light. The bouzouki player notices and gets to his feet. As the woman flees up the beach, Marius sinks his teeth into the bouzouki player's neck. Lestat grabs hold of the woman and breaks her neck, killing her. He gently lowers her onto the sand. Marius walks up behind him. Marius throws the body of the bouzouki player onto a pyre beside the woman. He and Lestat stare at the corpses.
We must remain in the shadows. You still have a few lingering mortal emotions. They'll serve you no good, my friend.
Lestat stares glumly at the body of the woman. Marius opens a flask and douses the bodies with an accelerant. Marius tosses a lantern on the pyre and it bursts into flames.
The faces of my victims haunted me, reminding me of my fate. For nights and days I played, furious that I would never again partake of the simple joys of the world. I was meant for more than this.
Back in the castle, Lestat plays the violin. The bow slips out of his hand and slides under a chest of drawers. He goes over to retrieve it and pushes the chest of drawers aside. Underneath it, he finds a metal dial set in the floor. He turns the dial and a secret door opens in the wall behind him. He looks into the gloom beyond.
Marius?
He steps through the doorway. Marius is on a beach at night. He has an easel set up and works on an oil painting. Clutching the violin, Lestat walks down a narrow stone staircase inside the castle. As he gets to the bottom of the stairs, flaming torches burst alight, illuminating the corridor ahead of him.
Marius?
He walks on down the narrow corridor. He emerges into a room. More torches illuminate in alcoves in the wall as he steps into it. A wooden bolt splinters on double doors ahead of him. The doors swing open, revealing a stone walkway over dark water beyond. At the far end is a stone plinth on which rests two statues, one of which is that of the woman at the beginning of the film. Lestat looks at it and smiles.
Would you like me to play for you?
The statue stares impassively back as he puts the violin to his cheek. A flash of light and a brief glimpse of the woman that the statue represents. The statue's blank eyes become green and it slowly raises its right hand and holds it out towards Lestat. He walks over to the statue and looks at its outstretched hand. He sees veins pulse within it. Lestat crouches beside the statue and lowers his head towards its hand. He bites into the statue's wrist and his eyes widen. A collage of images, statues of antelope and people, the impassive face of the statue of the woman. On the beach, Marius jumps and looks around. Lestat's eyes flush with blood. Blood courses through veins, a distorted image of the woman the statue represents. A man screaming, the woman laughs. Shadowy figures. The statue lowers its hand back onto its thigh. Lestat lies unconscious on the floor at the base of the statue. Marius strides into the chamber and, frowning, looks down at Lestat.
What have you done, Lestat?
He looks up at the statue of the woman. Marius watches as Lestat convulses. He's chained to a bed.
No!
I don't think so, my little lord.
Let me go.
No. You've drunk the purest blood, seen the oldest of things. Far too much for one as young as you.
Her blood is like liquid fire. Who is she?
Marius sits on the edge of the bed.
She's your mother. She's my mother. Akasha. The queen of all who are damned. And he's her king. Akasha and Enkel nearly drank this earth dry when they ruled over Egypt. They drank until Enkel lost his will to drink. Without her mate beside her, she also lost hers. They became living statues. She has no respect for anything except for the taste of blood, human and immortal alike. No. Release me.
He frees his right hand, but Marius grabs him.
She made you quite powerful. You'll not stop me. In all the years I've cared for them, not once have they moved. Until tonight, and she chose me. I chose you.
Marius marches off.
Where are you going? Marius!
The screen fades to black. A shot of Lestat's right hand, which has now been freed from its chains. The screen fades to black again. Lestat wakes up on the bed and finds he's no longer chained up. He sits up and looks around.
Marius?
He gets off the bed and looks around the room.
Marius?
He sees the secret door in the wall is open and runs towards it. He jogs down the dark staircase and pulls open the double doors. He dashes on into the statue's chamber and finds the statues have gone. Some gold artifacts lie on the walkway leading to the statue's plinth.
Marius!
Many times since I have called Marius, But there was no answer. Just the endless procession of days, months, years. My teacher left me to my darkest lesson. That in the end, we are alone. And there is nothing but the cold, dark wasteland of eternity.
Jesse finishes reading Lestat's journal and closes it. She looks around pensively, then leans forward across the desk, resting her head on her hands. Night, a dark alley leading to the private club which was formerly the Admiral's Arms in Mile End.
David thought the journal would satisfy my curiosity, but it only made me want to know more. I had to go back to the Admiral's Arms. I had no choice.
Wearing a gothic outfit herself, Jessie looks over at the Admiral's Arms and watches as the three goths enter the club. As one of them looks around, her eyes glint with a supernatural light. Three more people approach the club, two goths and a bloke in a suit. As the doorman opens the door, Jessie tags on behind the trio and follows them into the club. Inside, she looks over at a couple at a table, a shaven-headed girl and a businessman.
This is a fantastic place. I love it. Are you sure I can't get you a drink?
Soon.
The girl eyes the man's neck. She sees Jessie watching and Jessie quickly walks on. She passes more tables where pallid-skinned individuals watch her as she goes by. A live band plays discordant music. Jessie watches as girls with pallid complexions dance with unsuspecting men. She sees a man sitting with two women who sensuously caress him. Jessie watches with increasing horror as the women bite into the man's forearm and neck. As one of the women turns away, Jessie sees her eyes have turned red. Jessie quickly hurries over to the bar. A pale-skinned man sitting there turns to her.
Hi.
Hi.
Come here often?
All the time.
The man looks at her neck.
I don't see any marks.
Well, you haven't seen the rest of my body. Is that an invitation? Sorry, I'm taken.
And where is your host?
Oh, he's here somewhere.
His host. What's his name?
The three vampires crowd round Jessie, who looks increasingly nervous.
Marius.
Sorry, don't know the guy.
Well, of course you wouldn't. He's an ancient.
There aren't any ancients left.
They all turned to dust.
So unless you've got him in a bottle somewhere.
You know, you're brave joking like that. I wish you could meet him.
And why is that?
Because you might learn something.
Lestat is watching from the shadows.
Excuse me?
Lestat watches as she hurries out of the club. One of the vampires takes his coat off. As Jessie runs along the street, one of the vampires glides down in front of her. The other two drop down beside her.
Going somewhere? Now this will only hurt a little bit. In fact, you might even enjoy it.
The female vampire grabs her as the first vampire makes to bite her neck. Suddenly, Lestat appears and grabs the first vampire. There's a struggle, and Jessie falls to the ground. She looks up and sees the three vampires fleeing and disappearing into thin air.
Boo.
She looks round and sees Lestat standing behind her. He extends his hand and she takes it. He helps her up and she looks at his pale features. He smiles.
That was quite the performance. You should be more careful.
Thanks.
For what?
You saved me.
How presumptuous. So, you know Marius?
She nods.
Well, I know a lot of things.
Not how to stay alive, apparently.
Well, I guess we have that in common. Although I think I'm a little ahead of the race here.
Well, I can fix that.
Your song Redeemer, it's about the girl with the violin, isn't it? Yeah.
Is it?
They stare at each other.
And what else do you think you know? You're shaking.
Cold.
Still cold? So, go on. Tell me more about me.
You want...
What do I want?
You yearn.
What do I yearn?
He pricks her thumb with his nail.
For what do I yearn?
To walk with the living? Out of the cold dark wasteland of eternity.
He sucks the blood from her injured thumb.
Well, that makes you a very clever librarian, Telemuscan. I knew I left that journal somewhere. So, is it a good read?
It touched me.
Did it now?
She nods.
Don't worry, Jesse. Your kind never satisfies my thirst.
He marches off.
Lestat, I know something that's not in your journal.
He stops and turns back.
What?
You still have the violin, don't you? No, I understand. After all, it's only human.
He takes off, swooping low over Jessie. She ducks, then looks around. He appears to have vanished, so she picks herself up and walks away up the street. Lestat watches her from the shadows. Later, Lestat walks across a baronial hall, passing a huge fireplace with a crackling fire in the grate. He goes over to a chest and opens it. Inside is the violin. He removes a protective cloth from the instrument and picks it up. He studies it and slowly a smile creeps across his face.
Clever librarian.
He puts the violin away and closes the chest. The next day, Jessie is at an airport talking on her mobile phone.
David, listen, I'm going to Los Angeles for the concert.
I met him, David. I talked to him. I talked to Lestat.
Jessie, listen to me very, very carefully now. Now, you are no longer seeing things clearly.
Lestat has told the world that vampires live among us. They are furious. They'll all be at the concert trying to kill him. You've become obsessed with him. I'm worried about you, Jesse.
Can you please not worry about me? Please, I'm gonna be okay, and I'll check in. I'm sorry, I have to go.
No, Jesse!
David slowly lowers the phone, his expression troubled. The screen fades to black. The famous Hollywood sign up in the Los Angeles Hills. Inside a swish modern house.
City of Lost Angels already fed on the blood of youth. My presence here barely stirred a ripple. We had 3 days till the concert. I could feel something was coming. I just couldn't figure out what.
In the house, Lestat lies in an open coffin listening to music on a personal stereo. Someone moves briskly along a corridor in the house. Lestat lies with his... A female vampire stops and stares as Queen Akasha enters the club dressed in ancient Egyptian attire, including a jeweled headdress. She stalks through the club and smiles as she looks at all the other vampires staring at her. She walks up to the bar and sees a Lestat pop video on the TV. She addresses one of the vampires that attacked Jessie.
Scent is fade. He was here too long ago.
You like him, do you?
He reminds me of someone.
All he's going to remind you of soon is a pile of bones. We're going to dismember him, bleed him dry.
Really? Is that what you're going to do?
She turns away and walks slowly out onto the dance floor, sensuously swaying her hips. She undulates in time to the music. The other vampires watch her transfixed. She beckons to the vampire she spoke to at the bar. He walks out onto the dance floor. As he steps towards her, she disappears, then reappears behind him. She grabs his chin. He smiles and she kisses him. She plunges her hand into his chest and pulls out his still beating heart. She bites into it as if it were an apple. The other vampires watch horrified as Akasha crushes the heart in her hand and it turns to dust. A male vampire launches himself at her and she knocks him aside. As a female vampire leaps at her with a dagger, Akasha waves her hand, and the attacker bursts into flames. She waves her hand again, and the remaining two vampires that attack Jesse burst into flames. The other vampires panic and try to flee, but Queen Akasha sets them all ablaze. Two burning vampires spill out of the front door of the club and roll around on the pavement. Queen Akasha walks out of the blazing building and slinks off down the street. She licks her lips and smiles. Lestat
in the king's blood. Absorb this power.
Good. Let her come.
Cancel the concert.
Never.
You're no match for her, Lestat. You're not a god. We were once mortals too. It is our heritage we protect.
Such reverence for mortals. Then you should have left me as one.
Marius frowns. Lestat jumps down off the billposter's cradle and flies away. Marius looks out. In the Admiral's arms, vampires gather. They chat and exchange sensuous looks. A female vampire stops and stares as Queen Akasha enters the club dressed in ancient Egyptian attire, including a jeweled headdress. She stalks through the club and smiles as she looks at all the other vampires staring at her. She walks up to the bar and sees the Lestat pop video on the TV. She addresses one of the vampires that attacked Jesse.
Scent is fade. He was here too long ago.
You like him, do you?
He reminds me of someone.
All he's going to remind you of soon is a pile of bones. We're going to dismember him, bleed him dry.
Really? Is that what you're going to do?
She turns away and walks slowly out onto the dance floor, sensuously swaying her hips. She undulates in time to the music. The other vampires watch her transfixed. She beckons to the vampire she spoke to at the bar. He walks out onto the dance floor. As he steps towards her, she disappears, then reappears behind him. She grabs his chin. He smiles and she kisses him. She plunges her hand into his chest and pulls out his still beating heart. She bites into it as if it were an apple. The other vampires watch horrified as Akasha crushes the heart in her hand and it turns to dust. A male vampire launches himself at her and she knocks him aside. As a female vampire leaps at her with a dagger, Akasha waves her hand and the attacker bursts into flames. She waves her hand again and the remaining two vampires that attack Jesse burst into flames. The other vampires panic and try to flee, but Queen Akasha sets them all ablaze. Two burning vampires spill out of the front door of the club and roll around on the pavement. Queen Akasha walks out of the blazing building and slinks off down the street. She licks her lips and smiles. Lestat lies back on a giant radio dish, resting his head on his hands.
Old gods on new streets. Not only had the concert sold out among the living, it seemed all the undead were coming too. I knew that there would be a lot of angry vampires out there, frightened of the light I was directing on all our kind.
Do you have anything else to say to the other vampires listening out there?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. Come out, wherever you are. They wanted me dead? Let them try. Bring it on. Better dead than alone.
Several vampires watch Lestat's interview on a giant monitor in the street. A taxi pulls up on an LA street at dusk. A lot of goths have gathered there. Jesse gets out of the taxi, also wearing a goth-style black dress. She's approached by a tout.
Hey, honey. Would you like some tickets for tomorrow? Are you going to the show?
No, thank you.
Come on, I got them for $200.
$200? I don't
okay,
think so.
What if
so.
I say 150?
Oh, 150, you're going to cut me a deal.
I'm going to cut you a deal.
Gorgeous. So listen, I just tie on your head two girls, okay? So how old are you then?
Roger, Lestat's manager, gathers groupies.
Check it out. Champagne?
Jesse has bagged a place as one of the groupies. Roger leads her and the other girl through the rented house that Lestat is staying in. A shadowy figure passes by.
Oh my God, I can't believe it's really you. I'm your biggest fan.
It's Lestat.
Boo.
Boo back.
Lestat, I came all the way from Tarzana.
Really? And you?
London.
A London goth. I see. It's funny. I would have pegged you for a Telemascan.
Maybe in another life. I'm an Episcopalian.
And I'm a freaking Buddhist. Lestat.
Roger, would you take our little Episcopalian back to church?
Just the one tonight? Sure. Ah, sweetheart, come on.
What?
Come on. Come on.
What?
Don't worry, it's a good thing. Believe me.
Do I still get to go?
go backstage?
Why are you following me? What do you want?
Jessie reaches inside her bag and takes out Lestat's journal. She puts it down on the table in front of him.
So you come all this way just to return this to me, out of the goodness of your heart.
I want you to show me what it's like.
What is like exactly?
To be like you.
I don't have time for this.
All a vampire has is time.
Not this one.
Right. The Covens are coming for you. How are you going to spend what may be your last night on Earth, Lestat, as you always have, alone?
Why not?
Why not share it with me?
They stand facing each other.
All right. This may be painful for a mortal. You're still attached to your skin.
I don't care.
He steps behind her.
Do you trust me?
He brushes her hair away from her neck.
Yes.
She leans back against him.
Then close your eyes.
She does so and then slowly turns around to face him. They stand cheek to cheek. Jessie puts an arm around Lestat's neck and the other around his waist. The image blurs and fades to black. A view racing over Los Angeles at night. Jessie clings to Lestat as they fly over Los Angeles. They fly past skyscrapers and the lights of the city stretch out beneath them. They fly towards the Griffith Observatory. Jessie smiles at Lestat and they descend to the roof of the observatory. Jessie slips and falls over the edge. Lestat grabs her arm and pulls her back up, tossing her into the air and catching her. They stand facing each other. They stare into one another's eyes. Lestat pulls away.
Marius was right. But I never understood until I met you.
What do you mean?
You're beautiful to me because you're human. Your frailty. Your short years. Your heart. Even as you think it's breaking.
He walks round behind her.
All that seems suddenly more precious than anything I have ever known.
I'm not as precious as you think.
She drags a pin across her neck. Blood seeps from the resulting scratch.
Do it.
Lestat stares uncertainly at the blood.
Please.
Almost mesmerized, he draws closer.
Let me be with you. Let me know everything.
He stares into her eyes, then bends down to bite her neck. He stops himself and angrily throws her back.
Oh, you want to know everything? Come then. I'll show you.
They walk along a walkway and around the side of the observatory and then go down some steps. They walk through the grounds of the observatory, Lestat leading the way. He stops and stares at something in the distance.
What is it? What are we doing?
Up ahead of them, a couple walk over to a bench and sit down, canoodling. Lestat watches them in a predatory fashion. The man looks up. He's another vampire. Seeing Lestat, he retreats and vanishes into thin air. Jessie looks around and sees Lestat has gone. She spots him approaching the woman who's still on the bench. Jessie frowns and walks towards them. The woman on the bench looks fearfully up at Lestat.
Is she all right?
Lestat bites the woman's neck.
Get away! Get off me!
Jessie watches horrified as Lestat drains the life out of the woman. He pulls away from her and looks at Jessie.
Now you see? Are you ready? Now do you want it? Huh?
He looks intensely into her eyes.
No. Of course you don't.
She stares after him as he walks away. The screen fades to black. Death Valley, California. It's dark as columns of vehicles arrive for the concert. A huge number of tents have been pitched around the venue. A series of bonfires have been lit at the site, and some of them flare up explosively. Jessie is amongst the crowds heading towards the venue. They all wear goth and punk rock style outfits. As Lestat gets out of a vehicle, Roger comes over to him. Minders hustle him into a marquee.
Back up, fella. Come on, children. Hey, guys.
Come on.
They walk out of the far side of the marquee. A vast heaving sea of people has gathered in front of the stadium. Jessie makes her way through the throng.
Jessie!
She sees David in the crowd.
Jessie!
She hurries on. Marius spots him.
Hello, David. I must show you my new painting sometime.
Marius smiles and vanishes, leaving David looking perturbed. As the music swells, the crowd surge forward towards the stage. Jessie is swept along by the throng, many of whom wave plastic axes, tridents and scythes. The band make their way onto the stage. Lestat lurks in the wings and looks out at the crowd. He spots a couple of vampires in the heaving mass of humanity. One of the vampires stares steadily back at him. Lestat steps backstage. On stage, the band play an introduction. Lights come up and burners flare up around the stage. Lestat flies down out of the air. He steps up to the microphone.
Walking, waiting, alone.
Jessie forces her way through the crowd towards the front.
Things that I can't bear. Did you think it's cool to walk right up to take my life and fuck it?
A man crowd surfs. On stage, Lestat takes off a long black vinyl coat and tosses it aside, revealing a long-sleeve string vest top underneath. He rests one foot on a speaker at the front of the stage.
I see hell in your eyes. Taken in by surprise. Touching you makes me feel alive. Touching you makes me die inside.
Towards the back, a group of vampires has gathered. Their pale faces are turned towards the stage. Marius is amongst them, along with Maharet.
Find Jessie.
An older man with long grey hair nods and goes. Jessie has made her way to the front of the crowd. She watches Lestat on stage.
I
As the number finishes, the burners around the stage flare up again.
One more. This one's for those who've come for me.
In the crowd, watching vampire assassins stand stock still as fans thrash wildly around them. They glare malevolently at Lestat on the stage. Jesse notices them.
You're not. It's plain to see that you want me to fall off. It's killing me.
Jesse watches anxiously as the assassins advance towards the stage. Jesse calls out. The vampire assassins take off and fly up out of the crowd. Lestat ducks as one of them flies overhead. As a second swoops in, Lestat impales him with a microphone stand. At the back of the crowd, Marius steps forward. On stage, Lestat's band quickly quit the set. Marius flies in and lands on the stage, stamping on the head of the vampire that Lestat just impaled. Lestat looks pleasantly surprised to see him. He turns to the crowd and raises his arms triumphantly. The crowd think it's all part of the act. Marius claps, then has to dodge out of the way as two more assassins fly onto the stage. Lestat ducks as one flies overhead. He spins out of the way as another swoops at him. Marius throws an attacker, and Lestat trips another. A dagger-wielding assassin is punched back by Marius, and Lestat kicks another in the face. David watches from the crowd. Marius ducks out of the way of an attacker and breaks another's neck. Lestat punches another, but gets cut by a third's dagger. He snatches the dagger and decapitates his assailant, the head toppling to the floor as he kicks the body away. Marius and Lestat find themselves surrounded as more and more assassins fly up onto the stage. Suddenly, the attackers start to burst into flames. Their charred remains float away on the breeze. The crowd roars, still convinced it's all part of the act. Jesse watches anxiously as the charred remains of a vampire drifts away like a sheet of burnt paper. David, Lestat and Marius watch the burnt remains floating away. At the back, Maharet sees what's happening.
Akasha.
Lestat and Marius are thrown back by an explosion erupting out of the centre of the stage. In the crowd, Jesse finds herself beside the older, long-haired vampire. They exchange a look. Akasha slowly rises out of the hole in the centre of the stage made by the explosion. She extends her arms and hovers about 8 feet above the stage. Lestat rises into the air and flies over to her. Marius watches anxiously as Akasha smiles at Lestat. Then she and Lestat fly up into the air. Marius and Lestat's band watch as he and Akasha rise higher and higher until they entirely vanish from view. The two vampires fly over an expanse of dark ocean until they arrive at an island. A full moon shines down from the night sky and the vampires land on a beach. They circle each other.
Akasha.
Why so surprised, my love? You called, I've come.
My love?
Never fear me, Lestat. All your wishes have come true.
My wishes.
For a companion to share eternity. You're bold like your music. You live your life in the open like I did long ago. when I had a king.
Had a king?
He's no more. Now you are my consort. That's why I kept you safe. Alive.
You?
She smiles.
You thought it was all you? The ego of a king as well. Yes. I know you, Lestat. I know that you crave to have the world at your feet. And I've come to give it to you.
He looks around.
Where are we?
We are home. We live everywhere and anywhere we choose. The world is our garden.
They approach a luxurious villa flanked by palm trees. Inside, Lestat relaxes in a bath strewn with rose petals. Akasha's hand snakes up from under the petals and caresses his chest and neck. She smiles at him and kisses him on the lips. She kisses her way down his neck, then bites into his chest. He reacts with a mixture of pleasure and pain. Akasha looks up at him and smiles, blood staining her mouth. Lestat kisses her on the lips and they share a lingering, sensuous kiss. The montage. Blood courses through veins. Akasha and Lestat make love in bed. Grainy images of screaming faces, blood-soaked faces, ecstatic faces. Lestat lies back on the bed and Akasha drifts slowly away into the darkness. An aerial view racing over the Mojave Desert in California at night. A remote ranch sits alone on a rocky outcrop. Adult Jessie wakes in the room she woke in as a little girl in the earlier flashback. There's a large collection of antique porcelain dolls lining one wall of the room. Jessie gets out of bed and makes her way through the conservatory.
All these years, I'd hoped this place was real. For the first time in my life, I feel like I'm home. Strange that this journey should lead me here. This place that's haunted my dreams.
She walks out into the middle of a small courtyard and looks around.
Ant, you're bleeding.
You must be with your mom. I'll always be watching over you.
I want to stay with you forever.
Forever is a very long time.
Maharet appears, her eyes glowing.
And Maharet.
Jessie goes over to her as Maharet comes down the steps into the courtyard. The women share a hug.
You haven't aged, you haven't changed at all.
I was once immortal too. I bore a child before Akasha took me. I took care of that child. And her children. And her children's children. This is our family. My way of coping with eternity. You are what keeps me connected to the world of the living. When your parents died, I brought you here to take care of you.
They see the sun is beginning to rise.
Now is not the time. You were seeking answers and now you've found them. The family, is who you are.
Maharek goes. Lestat is asleep in bed in the villa. Outside, the sun is high in the sky. He wakes and recoils from the light spilling through the shutters. After a few moments, he realizes the light isn't burning him. Shirtless, he walks through the villa. He shields his eyes with his hands and makes his way tentatively outside onto the terrace. He's surprised to find the sunlight doesn't fry him, and he looks up at the sun high in the sky. He walks slowly across the terrace and looks at a swimming pool just below it. Dead bodies are strewn all around it. He surveys the beach from a high vantage point and sees more corpses littering the sand. Akasha steps up to him.
Drinking my blood allows you to live in the light. And soon the sun will no longer sting your eyes.
She strokes his face.
This is but a taste of what we shall share, my love. My king, behold our kingdom.
Kingdom of corpses? Why?
Why not?
This is why you have risen?
They believed in nothing. Now they are nothing.
Lestat stares at her, unconvinced.
You and I, we will change all that. We will give the world something to believe in again. Now come, my love. We have a score to set.
Maharet and the other vampires gather in the courtyard at the ranch beside the wall with the block pattern which represents Maharet's family tree. Jesse and Marius are with them.
Since my mortal death, I have watched, I have guided and cared for my human family. Generations beyond memory.
They look at the family tree.
This is why we must fight Akasha. For the sake of your great family.
The world we know is about to end. The only way to prevent this is through Akasha's destruction.
But how?
When she opens herself to give blood, she's vulnerable.
Whoever takes the last of her blood will not survive it.
What about Lestat?
Dearest, Lestat has joined with Akasha. He's lost to us now. Forget him.
Marius looks grave. A view flying over the desert towards the ranch. The doors to the courtyard burst open and a white mist rolls in. Maharet, Jesse, and the other vampires watch as Akasha emerges from the mist.
My children. Wants my blood to see you all gathered, plotting against me.
Akasha.
Maharet, you will address my king first.
Lestat, what has she done to you?
They look at Jesse.
Lestat, step aside.
Never.
The world has changed since you reigned.
Then we shall change it back. Humans are animals. Brute creatures. Their destruction can only make sense.
We found other ways to coexist.
Ah, yes, in silence. In shadows and shame and for what? For respect of mortals. They are nothing to us. They are merely food.
Akasha, please.
You think you can change my will? Had enough of this discussion. Join me or die.
I will not. I will not.
I will not.
I will not.
Akasha looks put out. She composes herself and turns to Lestat.
Do you love me?
Yes.
Then prove it.
kill her.
Jesse.
She's nothing to me.
Just the same. I'd like for you to kill her.
Lestat steps forward.
You will not touch her.
You still think to challenge me, Maharet?
Maharet is thrown across the courtyard.
Now.
No, it's all right, Aunt Maharet. It's what I want.
Lestat slowly approaches Jesse. Akasha smiles.
How sweet.
Jesse and Lestat walk towards each other, then stand facing each other.
I'm ready.
Jesse pulls her long hair aside, exposing her neck. She puts her arm around Lestat, who opens his mouth. His fangs extend slightly and he bites into her neck. Blood drips down the family tree on the wall. Jesse leans back in Lestat's arms as he drinks her blood. Lestat sinks to his knees and gently lays Jesse on the ground. She lies motionless. Blood staining his mouth, Lestat slowly gets to his feet. Akasha slinks down the steps into the courtyard.
See, my children. Remember your real family. Or join hers.
Now. Give me my crown.
Spoken like a true king. Come.
She offers her right arm to Lestat, who sinks his teeth into her forearm.
You see how he obeys. You will, or you will all die.
She closes her eyes as Lestat sucks on her arm.
That is enough, Lestat.
He opens his eyes and gives Marius a pointed look. Marius and Maharet react. Lestat keeps sucking.
That is enough, Lestat! Stop!
She hurls him aside. The other vampires surge forward and attack Akasha, biting into her. She repels the older vampire with the long hair and he catches fire. She hurls a female vampire aside and she too ignites. The others keep up their attack, sucking Akasha's blood. She throws a younger vampire aside and he begins to smolder. Akasha tries to rise into the air, but her attackers hold her down. As her strength drains, the younger vampire stops smoldering. He sits up and rejoins the attack on Akasha, biting into her. Akasha pushes her attackers back and stands glaring at them.
You kill me. You kill yourselves.
Severely weakened, she looks round at Lestat, who advances on her. She stops him with a force field. His skin starts to discolor, but her powers are weak, and she can't hold him. He marches over to her and pulls a necklace aside, exposing her throat. He plunges his fangs into her neck and starts to drain the remains of her blood. Maharet steps forward.
Wait, Lestat.
He stops sucking.
I must stop.
Akasha looks pleadingly up at Lestat, who steps away from her. She teeters, bent over backwards. Maharet steps up to her and grabs her. She touches Akasha's face, then bares her fangs, and sinks them into Akasha's neck. The vampires watch as Maharet drains the last of Akasha's blood. Maharet steps back from Akasha as a black stain starts to spread out from the wound on Akasha's neck. It spreads slowly over her entire body until she's the colour of a bronze statue. Even her clothing and jewellery changes colour. Akasha looks around in dismay as she begins to ossify. Her teeth and eyes turn black just before she begins to disintegrate. Her flesh turns to a black powder and fountains away from her skeleton in a sandstorm of dusty plumes. Her skeleton is laid bare, then that too disintegrates away into dust. The vampires look around at the dust particles blowing on the breeze. Lestat goes over to Jesse, who's still lying motionless on the ground. He cradles her head in his lap. He looks up and sees Maharet has turned to stone. The other vampires stare at her frozen form.
She took Akasha's death into herself.
She's not dead. She sleeps.
They stare in wonder at the statue. Lestat bites a vein on his wrist and puts the bleeding wound to Jesse's lips. He smiles as he looks at her. Back in London, David sits at his desk in his study. He looks at newspaper headlines. Band carries on without Lestat. Lestat coroner. Drugs in the water. Hearing something, David looks up and frowns. He gets up from his desk and takes his glasses off. He puts them on the desk and walks over to the door. He tentatively opens it.
Hello?
Seeing no one, he closes the door again. He looks back at his desk and sees someone sitting in front of it. He walks extremely slowly back to the desk and sees the person is Lestat. Lestat smiles and David looks over his shoulder. He sees Jesse behind him.
Oh my God. Jesse.
Hello, David.
Lestat gets to his feet and David looks nervous as the two vampires slowly circle him. Jesse smiles.
David, this is Lestat.
Hello. I have something for you.
Lestat picks up his journal.
I believe that you wanted this back.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
David takes the journal. Lestat looks at Jesse, then smiling, walks past David, patting him on the back as he goes. David turns to Jesse.
Can I ask?
What's it like?
Yes.
Do you want to find out?
Me? No, I'm too old to live forever.
Well, if you ever change your mind.
She smiles and they stare at each other.
So this is goodbye.
Yes.
She makes to kiss him and he flinches in fear. She smiles and nods, then slowly turns and walks over to Lestat by the door. With a last look back at David, she leads the way out. Lestat smiles at David and follows her out. David looks relieved. Lestat and Jesse walk down the steps of the Talamasca Center and head off down the street. Marius appears and watches them go. He walks up the steps and goes into the Talamasca Center. David is sitting at his desk, flicking through Lestat's journal.
Hello, David.
He looks up in alarm. Lestat and Jesse walk across Westminster Bridge towards Big Ben and the Houses of Parliament. They move at a slow, steady speed, but the people around them rush past at greater and greater speed until the world around the vampires becomes a blur.